security.
Well, that's an old one. That's actually the wrong brand. No lie. That's not good.
Welcome to the thrilling world of Security Squawk, where we explore cybersecurity. Guiding you through online threats, we'll aid you in understanding safety protocols and trends. Meet our gurus, Brian from ExactIT, Reginald from ArcSolvers, and Randy from TechRescue. Together, we'll delve into current events and hot cybersecurity topics, helping you comprehend their impact. Stay informed, stay secure. Security Squawk, the business of cybersecurity. Buckle up, let's dive in.
Buckle up, let's go, guys. Here we go with another week of the Security Squawk podcast. I am Brian here with Andre and Randy. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing well.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. So we got to jump right into it because our friend Andre has to leave in short 8 minutes here. Maybe he can hang out for a little bit longer. I don't know. But we'll wrap up the show with just Randy and I most likely because we got a lot to talk about this week. But remember, so I don't waste a lot of time on this, share our show. It helps us grow the show. Do whatever you can to like, subscribe on YouTube, or share our show out. It helps us grow the show. I'm getting feedback from everybody. So in today's show, guys, we're going to delve into a series of high-profile cyber attacks and IT outages that we believe are cyber attacks that have rocked various sectors here in the U.S., from nationwide food chains to local governments, and even a yacht company is been hit, and there's some interesting information there. But let's get right into it. First topic we're going to talk about today is this Panera Bread IT outage. And it's an IT outage. It's impacted their nationwide operations. It started on Saturday, and the popular U.S. food chain has been grappling with an IT meltdown affecting online ordering, point of sale systems, phones, and internal systems. A deep dive into the chaos that ensued and the steps Panera is taking to resolve the issues is what we're going to talk about right now. So where are we at? Do you guys go to this restaurant? I used to. I actually don't go there as much anymore for a very good reason. But I don't know if this is something that's impacted you. But it hasn't impacted me because I'm not a fan of the restaurant. I used to be, but they screwed up my order too many times, and I just
don't go
back there anymore. Yeah. So yeah,
I still go there. According to what we're hearing, all their systems are down as far as their point of sale system. So unless you have the old American hard cash, they are not going to be able to service you because their entire electronic system is down as far as taking any type of, you know, credit card payments or Bitcoin payments.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do the sniff test here, this smells like something a little more than just an outage, because it's not like the POS system is down. Oh, we had an error, you know, somebody entered a comma or, you know, a date code that caused the whole system to crash. We're talking across multiple systems. We're seeing, you know, phone system, POS system, across multiple, having a meltdown. I mean, it's maybe a little too early to say, and we're just guessing, but I don't know. It smells like a little more than just the IT, than just an IT issue.
We've been hearing a lot about that, because I think McDonald's was down a couple of weeks ago, obviously. Wow. Microsoft Teams. So I don't know if it's a DNS problem with these companies, but definitely something is up.
Oh, the good old DNS problems. If it were only that, I'm sure they're saying to themselves as they hear you talk, Andre. Yeah, more than likely, this is probably a cyber attack just because of the number of systems it has impacted. And it seems to be hard for them to kind of get back up on their feet here. So we'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for me to see how this impacts Panera Bread long term. You know, the interesting thing for me is, like, a lot of companies either tell themselves a story, or people from the outside might look at a company and be like, oh, well, that company should be able to withstand a cyber attack. And this will be a nice litmus test for the business world to look at and see, can Panera Bread survive the cyber attack? I mean, we certainly know that the casinos did, like MGM did, but it's having long-term impacts to their business that if you kind of read industry magazines, you understand that MGM's still isn't out of the woods with their attack, even though all intents and purposes, everything looks fine from the outside. I can tell you that's far from the truth. And guys, we also see it with Johnson Controls. I saw an article the other day where Johnson Controls was looking to peel off pieces of their business, of some of their divisions, to competitors because of, I believe, their cyber attack that happened recently.
Yikes.
These cyber attacks, the long-term issues that companies have to deal with are what kills these businesses, not the initial attack. It's no business goes out of business during a cyber attack. Everybody throws up their arms and goes, oh, we got hacked, we got ransomware, let's just shut the doors and go out of business. No, most companies invoke their cyber insurance, they try to fight through it, and then it becomes a long, slow death after that, right? You might be lucky like Johnson Controls and be able to sell off your business to recoup some of that, but some companies won't have that option. Their option will be to close the doors.
Yeah, I mean, just think of this situation right now. They can only accept cash. Everybody raise their hand who has cash on them. I mean, I never have cash on me. Most people that are going to and fro, going to lunch and stuff like that, they're going to walk up to Panera Bread. They're going to lunch with a group of people and they see cash only. They're like, y'all have cash? We don't have cash. So we're going to go across the street to Taco Cabana or whatever. So can your business handle basically no money coming in, you know, for a certain amount of time? That's what kills a lot of businesses, because most businesses are basically living check to check, if you will. And this disruption in cash flow puts them out.
Well, here's the other side. Here's the other side of it too, right? Like Panera doesn't just order food for tomorrow today, right?
Right.
So they have projected sales for their stores that are now going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that Panera Bread has already placed the orders for the food for probably the next 6 months or more, right? And that food's still going to come. They're not going to be able to cancel those orders. So Panera Bread is looking at massive food spoilage because they're not going to be able to push the amount of food that they have on order. And all this stuff, like sales could go down long term, but sales are going to go down right now. Like they're not going to be able to handwrite checks like they can punch it in the computer. More than likely, the staff isn't trained to deal with any other system than the computer that they've been trained to punch their finger on to do the order, right? I don't know if the mobile app has been affected, if where customers can just order it themselves. So this could be a major problem for them. Mm-hmm. And this food delivery is going to continue to come, and they're not going to have a need for it because their stores are going to be chock full of, and it's not like Panera is selling, you know, they sell pretty fresh stuff. So they got to move this stuff in order to remain profitable. So it's going to be a big problem.
And I don't know about the app specifically, but it does say that the rewards program is down. It says that the in-store kiosks are down. And it also says that internal systems providing employee shift details and scheduling are also down.
Right. So you're going to have people missing shifts and stuff too.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You might as well close it down at that point. Because it doesn't even cost the amount of money to cost just to run it and have employees there, but not really doing anything.
Yep. It's brutal. All right, guys, let's move on. Maybe we can get one more topic in before Andre's got to go. So I'm going to throw this one your way, Randy, here in a second, because I don't know anything about what an appraisal district is. But anyway, I think this is in Fort Worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fort Worth, Texas. We have a ransomware attack on what's known as the Tarrant appraisal district, and hackers are demanding $700,000. So what's going on down in Fort Worth, my friend?
Well, so you asked about an appraisal district, basically for property taxes. This is for the county. This is Tarrant County. That's where Fort Worth is located.
Oh, okay. It's not only Tarrant County.
Okay, yeah.
You guys have to call it an appraisal district, but everyone else calls it a county.
Well, so we have a county, and the county has an appraisal district.
That's big. Like, they need like to section it off and to like its own.
No. It's more of a government office. Look at it as a government office.
Right.
And they're responsible for appraising all the property in the county.
Yep.
And make sure that the appropriate taxes are.
God, followed. I feel like you explained this when Dallas got hit.
And literally the two counties are joined. It's Tarrant County and Dallas County. I guess to the viewers, it might be the other way, but you know what I'm saying? They're right next door to each other. It's actually a metroplex is what they call it. It's really one big city from one end to the other. But yeah, so hackers are in there. There is ransomware. And so the thing is, when you're in an appraisal district, there's a lot of stuff that they're getting, but a lot of this is already going to be public knowledge. Texas, by law, every piece of property is listed publicly on the Tarrant County website, the Tarrant County Appraisal District website. Every piece of property, the people that own it, the mailing address, not the mailing address to the property owners, but the actual address of the property. So there is a lot of information that is already public, but what's not public, though, would be like the mailing address, who specifically handles the payments and all of that kind of stuff. You can even find out the appraised value is even on the website. So, but even that, knowing that there's only like a percentage of the data that they can get that they could release, but even knowing that, that could all still be put together and would be very valuable to attackers because they could use that for targeted phishing campaigns, which could net them millions of dollars easily.
Thank you, sir, for that explanation. And I remember you kind of sharing the same concerns when yes. Dallas got hit, because not only are you going to have problems with construction, right, and them kind of moving things along from a construction and real estate standpoint, but the data that was stolen could be chock full of all kinds of PII and information that you don't want cyber criminals having. So we'll update everybody on whether or not this group pays the $700,000. But Andre, what do you have to say?
Oh, we got some juicy information here.
Oh my gosh. I just read the same thing.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So we have $700,000 is how much they're thinking of paying or not paying. And here it says after an executive session, the board approved the purchase of new Office 365 software to replace the on-premise Exchange servers to improve its auditing and tooling. So they were on some old systems here, and now they're finally moving to the cloud. And just to show you how much cheaper this would have been, they've now purchased SentinelOne, which, now they're secure, right? SentinelOne. And they're also hiring a cyber consultant, which means they probably didn't have one before, improving enterprises. They're now going to start performing security audits, including network support and system reviews. And how much is all this going to cost? $200,000. So $200,000 to secure everything, $700,000 to pay.
Well, and that's only to pay to the criminals, because you still have lawsuits and stuff.
So you still have all kinds of other costs. I mean, this is this could go to 2 million quickly. I mean, they're already at 900,000, right? And just to kind of translate what Andre said there, what he basically said was somebody came in, assessed the situation, said you can't stand these Exchange servers back up again because you're going to get hit again. So we might as well just move you now, right? Because if we try to stand you back up, we have to patch these things. So it sounds like unpatched, right? It sounds like we were unpatched. Would you agree with that, Randy? We got hit. We were unpatched. Yeah. We got hit. And in order to bring you back up on these same systems is basically playing Russian roulette. So do you want to take that chance, right?
It's I'm over here practically breaking my neck or giving myself a neck injury from shaking it so hard, because the fact that they've been on exchange servers, the fact that, you know, in the, I don't remember how many $1 trillion infrastructure bill, there was about 800 million that went to cybersecurity, which means Texas probably got 10 to 20 million of that. I don't know how much, but I'm sure since we're the second or third largest, most populous state, I can't remember exactly which, but I guess we're the third. They should have gotten a ton of money over that. And here we are in 2024, and we have a county in Dallas running on exchange servers. They're saying that they just bought Sentinel One, which Sentinel One's a great product. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. That's not my point. My point is they're just now putting something like that on the machines, like in 2024.
After an attack.
And, you know, if you get the right cybersecurity analysis in there to help them, they can use the data that can flow from Sentinel One to help remediate the attack and figure out why it happened and make sure the bad guys are out, blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like it's the exchange server, you know? So this is all kinds of messed up.
Plus, there's no way. I mean, chances are, I don't know how big this Tarrant appraisal district is, how many employees they have or whatever, but migrating them and doing all the stuff that it sounds like they have to do, more than likely is going to cost more than $200K.
Yeah.
Just saying.
If that's just the, maybe they're just going to all get new email addresses and just start, you know, worrying about all the old. But see, the thing is, because we deal with government, and you're required to keep stuff, and
yeah,
you know,
you can't start.
Oh,
they got to move all that stuff. It's just going to take a lot, and
it's a mess.
There's going to be other bills that come along with that $200K. That's all I'm saying. And that's not, this is not how you want to be doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Not, you're under the gun. So either you're going to pay the cyber criminals, you're going to pay the IT professionals, or you're going to pay both. Mm-hmm. So, all right, guys. So let's kind of lump these three together so we can get through them real quick. But we got three ransomware attacks here in the US, one on St. Cloud. Then we have an Illinois County government, along with, is that a school too?
Yep, a college in the same town.
In the same town. So let's kind of hit these three at the same time, since they're all kind of interrelated, like municipal, local governments getting hit. What do you got going on in St. Cloud?
Well, first off, this goes right along with the CAD. That's the county appraisal district there in Tarrant County. That's a government entity. And it sounds like, it says the city of St. Cloud said Monday, so this was literally yesterday, it discovered a ransomware attack affecting city services and warned that while many city departments are affected, they are operating as best as possible until the issue is resolved. This is a town of about 60,000 residents near Orlando. It says that in-person payments for parks and rec events and services are cash only. The online facility reservation payments and online event registrations are still accepting credit card payments, though. Police and fire are responding, but payment for services at the transfer station temporarily cash only. All trash and recycling collection routes are operating as scheduled. So it sounds like it's affecting their payment system. And however, you know, they do that online, I'm not sure. It looks like it's a few things here and a few things there, and it's not affecting everything yet. But I guarantee you the bad guys are trying to move laterally as fast as they can.
Yes, sir. Right. So then over now, Illinois, right next to Iowa, there's a little county called Henry County. and they were nailed with a cyber attack by Medusa ransomware gang, who likes to hit local governments. They kind of specialize in that. They want $500,000 ransom, Randy. Population of this town, just 2 hours away from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is about 50,000 people. So it doesn't matter how big or small your town is, they'll still ask for $500,000 or more, right? It seems like.
Right. Right.
I mean, for a town this size, it's going to be hard for them to make that payment and to meet those demands.
Right.
It's going to be ugly. So, you know, they claim they're kind of muddling through. They're touting in this article that I have up some of their recovery efforts, you know, and the fact that they seem to be weathering the storm by going to their backup plans or their contingency plans. I've seen this firsthand at other counties. You know, a lot of it is just everybody being upset, yelling at each other, and somebody at the top going, just write everything down on paper and we'll get it back in when the systems are back up.
Right.
I mean, and that's really what we're touting here. It's not like they have a tried and true business continuity plan or disaster recovery plan that they're putting into place. You know, it's just government workers, quite frankly, who are just looking around at each other going, what do we do? And somebody's just saying, hey, just write everything down and we'll worry about it when the systems are back up.
It does say that they have an emergency management plan, and they've had to default back to that. So their 911 is working. They're probably literally just answering the phone.
Yeah. You know, what I find is counties have emergency management plans developed, you know, for natural disasters.
Yep.
But they fail to cover the cyber attack piece. So, a lot of things in both situations are similar, right? If you get hit with a fire or flood or hurricane or tornado, you know, one of the first things you got to account for is loss of utilities, which means you're not going to have computers, right? So then you have a contingency plan around that. So there may be similarities in the plans, which they may get through okay as a result of that. But it's still a whole different ball of wax when you're talking about getting the systems back up and running and recovered and all that. So we'll see how that goes for them. It's been a while. They've been down since the 18th of March. So we're just about 8-9 days into it. And we'll update everyone on where it goes. So last topic here, Randy, I got to split. Yacht dealer to the stars is attacked by the Risider ransomware gang and this Marine Max company. Apparently, they like to make big boats for rich people. And they had to file that pesky little security and exchange report. And they filed one on March 10th saying that portions of its business were disrupted as a result of the containment measures it enacted. So they've continued through the matter in all material respects, but the Form 8K was filed earlier this month. And again, the company says it does not maintain sensitive data in the information environment impacted by the incidents. But Risider says, not so fast, Marine Max, because the montage of documents don't clearly or conclusively reveal their nature, but the majority of the leaked documents appear to be related to accounts and finances. I don't know. Last time I checked, if you want to buy a yacht, you need to show people that you have money. And I don't know how you're doing that without financial disclosures or tax documents and things like that. So how does a big yacht dealer like this not have these kinds of things unless they outsource it to a third party and they can keep it completely separate from their main business? I think there's more to be had here. But Risider said they want $1 million. So what are your thoughts?
Well, this is a multi-billion dollar company.
Yep.
So $1 million seems kind of small. I'm surprised it's only $1 million. And you know, it sounds like what they're saying is that they have their business separated, and that the part that was hit is not where all of the data supposedly is located. So I don't know what that means, if that's really the truth or if that's just, you know, press release talk or whatever.
I mean, they're basically saying that they feel, Risider, the group, is basically saying that they're having a seven-day auction on its site for the information that they stole. So this is a interesting business twist to these rants.
Yeah, it is.
Right. So now they're having a seven-day auction on site, and it says if it receives a bid fair for the value of the data it claims it was stolen, it will sell it to a single third party on an exclusive basis rather than making it public. So they're going to resell it to somebody, or they're going to get. So is this another ploy to get companies to pay the ransom out of fear of that auction going off? Or is this a legitimate auction in your opinion? Like they're actually, like if they get a buyer, they're actually going to sell it. Do you think there's somebody who's even willing to buy it?
Yeah, the for sure information, the for sure answer to that, I don't know. It definitely would, I would think it would be part of the psychological operations that they try to do to get people to pay.
Yep.
I mean, because at the end of the day, it's a ransom of something valuable. And so they want to get paid. And they're going to do what they can, you know.
Could also be that they have a whole lot of information there that is going to be valuable to somebody. And, you know, rich people usually have good credit.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the types of people like cyber criminals will pay heavily for. It's not like just a random database from some company, you know, where you got people with good credit and bad credit. You're pretty much guaranteed to get people with good credit here. So you can more than likely do a lot of damage and do at least enough damage before they even notice, you know, a new account or money missing or what have you. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep everyone updated on where this goes. But like I've been saying all this year, people's personal information is going to become a major, major form of what's being sold on the dark web, and people need to do what they need to do to protect themselves from their stuff being stolen personally, mm-hmm. meaning their credit, their identity, mortgages, their healthcare. All of these things are stuff that people in the dark web are willing to pay money for because they know they can scam and make money off it in some way down the road.
Right.
So, all right, Randy, thanks for your time. I got to run, unfortunately. See everyone next week.
All right. Good show.
Take care.
See you all next week.